Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I got the mouse.
I've said we're rolling. You've got to just press the iPad, mate.
All right, sorry.
That's all right. always the same.
It's not always the same.
Nearly.
Too legit to quit, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the preview show, sponsored by Bet365. Daniel Sturridge scored a Champions League goal. Cardiff and Neil Warnock might have a go against Man City. And Wolves are off to Old Trafford! Welcome, everybody. It's Football Ramble time.
You look, just about squeezed it in. I enjoyed it.
It was my fault. I pressed the button too early and I got excited by Marcus's mention of an MC Hammer album.
There we go. Well done for getting that ref.
Too legit to quit.
Hey.
If that's not going to get you excited, nothing will.
How much of a 90s sound?
1996, I want to say.
How much of a 90s sound is that? Hey.
Please, Marcus, don't hurt him.
No.
My initials, of course, are MC Speller.
Exactly.
1992.
Was it 92?
Yeah, I'd say it was
92.
I think 95 or 6 sounds very late to me.
No. Hammer was very much in the early 90s. Yeah. Hammer Don't Hurt Him. Oh, that's,
Hammer Don't
that's
Hurt
glorious.
I think it was called Please Hammer Don't Hurt Him.
Jimmy, very quiet, join in.
Yeah.
I've not got much to add. You
must have something. You Jim's got any big trousers?
Jim's just enjoying the content. Yeah. Like the listeners at home.
It could be outside.
They could be. But we're all inside, and we're going to talk about the Premier League and the Champions League. We'll mix it all up together, if you will. Before that, though, we have to mention that at a recent meeting with all the Premier League clubs, there were informal discussions about who could become the next chairman of the Premier League.
Yep.
Tony Blair was mentioned.
And you can't keep a good man down, that's why.
And that there's absolutely no way this is happening, but let's not let that stop us imagining it.
Let's not, and we'll come on to the wording of that in a minute. But can I please just take this opportunity to put it out there that I saw this story as well. And does anyone here, and if you've already seen it, don't give it away. Does anyone here know what headline The Sun went with here?
I don't.
It's amazing.
Go on.
The Blair Pitch Project.
Oh! Excellent.
Fair news.
I hate that newspaper, but that's fair play. Yeah.
And also, can I just say, informal discussion.
Yeah,
someone's basically just said, oh, I'm seeing Tony Blair later on the telly.
Tony Blair on the telly.
That counts.
He seems not to have much on.
Yeah.
There can't be many chairmen who've had a spitting image doll made of them.
Uh-huh. He's also used to sidling up to vicious dictators. Mm. So, where better to extend that than Mr. Mike Ashley?
Yeah.
But he's a big Newcastle fan, isn't he?
It might give you a little
bit of an advantage, Pete. You happy with that?
In the story I read, it
help you avoid relegation.
They might
the three R's.
I mean, I would happily do like a Mike Ashley kind of takeoff of the Demon Eyes, Tony Blair.
Yeah. New Labour, New Danger. Yeah. There was a football team we played against called Demon Eyes, weren't there? Labour cabinet people, yeah.
I played against Ed Balls once.
I played against James Purnell, former culture secretary, now working at the BBC, I think.
Hang on, you played against Ed Balls?
Yeah, he was definitely...
At football?
Yeah, I don't think I actually got on the pitch. Uh-huh. But
he's on the bench, don't forget.
Did he just shout Ed Balls every time?
Ed Balls!
Was he playing long balls?
Eh?
Mm-hmm. Have we done the Tony Blair thing? Because I really want to move on to something about... I saw that from the University of Colorado. Have you seen this?
Well, no, go on.
Things can only get better, so crack.
I won't labour the point. University of Colorado American football game, so a college game in the US this week. The mascot... Who is this? He's called Chip. I don't know what animal he is. I couldn't quite make it out.
Right.
He basically
Chipmunk?
He shot himself in the cock with a t-shirt cannon.
Right? Did he point the wrong way?
But the best thing, oh, he looked really painful. But the best thing was, obviously, he got medical attention. Mm-hmm. They came over, stretched him.
They gave the t-shirt to someone else.
He wouldn't take the head off.
Ah.
And he didn't want to be embarrassed.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
But like, how are they going to get his head through the back door of the ambulance? He's absolutely massive.
That's a good point. Yeah. You'd have to do a quick changeover.
Good day at the office? Yeah. Shot myself at the top.
Do you want to see the video?
Yeah, let's watch it.
Why?
You could just see him hitting the deck.
Yeah, it's worth checking out, ladies and gentlemen, so you can join in.
He just collapses in a massive heap with this huge head on.
Oh, dear. As promised, though, we are going to talk about the Premier League and the Champions League mixed in. And because of those things colliding, we start with Liverpool versus Southampton. Klopp's clan back in the habit in the Champions League.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Going so close last season, I did wonder whether they would still have the bit between their teeth, but they seem really up for this.
Evidently they do.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not misquoting him. I don't think I am. But Andy Brassel on The Constant this week is talking about PSG need to ship Neymar out.
That was the big quote on the social media.
And strengthen the rest of the team.
Because players are queuing up with all that.
they did look very disjointed, didn't they? And Liverpool obviously squeezed it. I loved Firmino's celebration.
It was nice. It was brilliant.
Apparently, Sadio Mane before the game said, "Oh, you don't need your eye. Come on. It's almost like it's only PSG.
They're
like this sort of luxury punchline. It's really strange.
You've got another eye. Some people on Twitter, Pete, were suggesting perhaps Firmino's celebration was a tribute to your much celebrated pop punk band, One Eyed Willie.
We can only dream of such a situation, I think.
Would you get the band back together?
Surely the line
to play the Champions League party, we will definitely do that. Yeah.
Back due to overwhelming popular demand,
could replace the England band.
Yeah. I'd actually be in favour of that.
I think the drummer lives in a caravan.
On brand, man.
On brand.
Justin Lee Collins would do a show getting your band back together.
Yeah.
I mean, he can't get on TV for love nor money these days, but he would be up for doing that.
Be very much on YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, it would, yeah. Straight to YouTube classic.
Let's start with the caravan, man.
Yeah.
Yes, but Liverpool, great win, though. And Virgil van Dijk has said they now want to win everything. And that's the mindset that the team have now. Jerdan Shaqiri was saying such things only the other week. And it's the vibe around that place, there just seems to be something else. It's something a little bit extra going on at
Absolutely.
Liverpool.
Absolutely. And with Daniel Sturridge playing so well, I mean, Klopp is obviously a sort of man motivator, but he said he's in the best shape he's ever seen him and he took his goal very, very well. And also, if they can get Adam Lallana back, like that is some bonus squad depth there that I think nobody's even really been thinking about. And it's early days and, you know, we'll see if Sturridge can keep that form up and force himself into contention a little bit more. But yeah, they look like the team to watch and the team to beat at the moment. I mean, if they win at the weekend, that's six in a row, which is rare. For anyone really starting the season so brightly. And I think, they're the most fun team in the league right now.
Yeah, it's lovely seeing Daniel Sturridge starting and scoring. This is a guy who was on loan at West Brom last season. He got injured. Did he even score?
No, he didn't. Well, he said, actually, over the weekend that when he went to West Brom, he worried him a lot because he realised what he would be missing from Liverpool. And I wonder if, like, can you just get yourself up for that sort of fight? Is he the sort of player that really needs to be at the top table to get the best out of himself?
I remember on this show, though, Jim, when he moved to West Brom, was it in January, Marcus? I think
it was.
I remember at least one of us, it might have been me, I'm happy to take the fall for it, saying that's quite a good move for him on paper because he gets to play, if he can stay fit, and they needed goals badly at that point. Mm-hmm. It seemed like a move to fit all parties. And of course, the answer to your question, Jim, is we'll never really know because he couldn't stay fit.
Of course, yeah.
For Liverpool, around the turn of September, October, is when we're going to find a lot more out about them, because so far they've passed pretty much every test. They go on to Spurs, they dominate Spurs. Oh, yeah. They've got a win against PSG, who, if you listen to On the Continent, which is obviously out every Wednesday and Saturday, you'll hear what the guys think about PSG's chances this season. They've still got problems, but their stated aim is to win the Champions League, so you've got to treat them with respect.
And just to nip in there, I know Liverpool only won 3-2 and it was an injury time winner. They were much better than PSG.
They were, definitely. Mm. Liverpool, at the end of this month, they play Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. And then when the month turns to October, they go away to Napoli in the Champions League, and then they have Man City at home. Those three games in a row, when we come up the back of that, we'll probably know a bit more about this Liverpool team, because they look like they're really at it. And just finally, before I bore everyone to tears, Klopp's record in the cup finals that we've talked about before is really poor, but he can go and win league titles, and he's done it before, and there's nothing to suggest he couldn't this time. Mm. I thought going into this season, City would still be miles ahead. I've not quite changed my mind yet, but I'm getting in that postcode.
Yeah.
I'm getting in that area.
How much of a point swing is it down to now?
Well, it had to be, 25 points?
Yeah.
I mean, it would be a massive surprise.
It would be.
I think you have to call it a surprise, but they've strengthened the right areas. They look decent.
Well, it's Sturridge as well. That Liverpool front three, we all know, is so phenomenally fantastic. But for the three of them to go the whole season without injury in all the competitions is quite fanciful.
It is.
If you have Sturridge to come in, and that's why Shaqiri can be used in one. I know it changes the sort of dynamic and all the rest of it, but for crying out loud, you know that's what the squads are there for. But Sturridge is a big plus for them.
Mm. And again, as well, Lallana.
Yes, of course.
Get him back.
Well, what do you make of what do you guys make of Mo Salah's start to the season?
Well, it's often the case, isn't it, when a player has such a brilliant season. I mean, look at Harry Kane. How many times do Harry Kane now? Well, he's a one season, two season, three season, four season wonder.
People accept it, don't they?
Exactly, because in August he would often not score. Now he's put that to bed, hasn't he? With Salah being so fantastic last season, if he doesn't suddenly hit the ground running and isn't scoring in every game or a couple of goals here and there, he's still getting in the positions. He's still getting the shots away. He's off the mark. He's not looking sluggish.
No.
It will come.
It's like the front three of Barca, though, isn't it? If one's having an off day, you've got two to fill in, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I going into that PSG game, I sort of thought, if they start with Sturridge, which of course they did, you wonder, and I understand the situation with Firmino and his tribute to Peake's band, they lose a bit of intensity in the front three. Sturridge isn't that. Firmino, for me, is the best forward without the ball in the Premier League. You're always going to be have a drop off there. Yeah. But they still managed to get through it. And Sturridge should have had a couple of goals, by the way.
But they're going to have to learn that, because again, if they want to be firing on all cylinders, you know, the Champions League, they could really prioritise that last year, because they knew they weren't going to win the league. They were way off. And they needed to get over the line to finish top four, which they did. This season is a different season. This is a big test for Liverpool.
I don't know. Traditionally, though, Liverpool have always taken a lot of energy from the Champions League, haven't they? Because they fear no one.
Jim, they were nowhere in the league.
Yeah.
They were nowhere.
Of course.
Terms of winning the top.
I think you're both right.
Not for a moment suggesting that they were anywhere in the league. Uh-huh. But if they go closer this year, I think actually the Champions League will be an advantage for them, because they take so much energy from it. I don't think that,
the
fatigue will be as much of an issue as you might think.
Okay. But in terms of resources, you're going to need a bigger squad. And I think Sturridge coming in is a bit of a plus. I mean, who knows? He may well not do much for the rest of the season.
He may not stay match fit.
Exactly, it's a bit of a shame. But we shall see with Liverpool. But one player they don't have to call on in their ranks is Danny Ings.
Of course, Danny Ings won't be available for selection for Liverpool. for Southampton against Liverpool, sorry.
Either side.
No, you can't play against either. he's got a vested interest in both teams, but he'll feature for neither.
That would be a rule, though, wouldn't it? You've got to play for your parent club.
Yeah. I think you should do a half and half.
Yeah.
Now you're talking.
Yeah. But I watched Southampton. No one really listens to me when I talk about Southampton, because they all just think I'm jealous because I'm a Pompey fan.
It's that wanker sign you're making as you're doing it.
Yeah, it's true.
We get emails anyway. We got one from a very angry Chelsea fan.
Oh, great.
I hope they get beaten on the weekend so we can talk about them.
Look forward to that.
Well, an early gripe.
Save it for your section. Yeah. Someone put Pete back in this pen, please.
Put me back in the pen, but the bees can get anywhere.
They go anywhere, really, exactly. Yeah. I watched Southampton on Monday and I wasn't that impressed with them. Højbjerg's goal was amazing.
It was.
They got a penalty as well. They were pegged back by Brighton, who are terrible away from home. And for Southampton to go to Anfield this weekend, it's a big ask for them. They're 12-1 to win with Bet365. £10 returns, £130, including stake. I don't imagine many people around this table, if any, fancy Southampton to get anything there.
They will have the man who Danny Ings described as a battering ram, Shane Long, up front.
I'm a battering ram.
You know, and he's bound to score at some point.
Have you seen his goal score? I think he's got 2 goals in his last 55 games.
Yeah, Ings was defending that. He was saying, no, he's a battering ram. He's always fighting with defenders, winning headers and so on.
It's a shame we won't be seeing Ings, because I think he's got, 3 goals, has he, already? Mm-hmm. And I think Charlie Austin was Southampton's top scorer with 7 last season. So if they can find him, you know, if they can get him regularly scoring, it'll be a very, very different season for them.
A horrible season for Southampton last season, aren't it? They can't go through that again. Cardiff. Host Manchester City. A little Optostat for you here. Manchester City have become the first English side in Champions League history to lose 4 consecutive matches in the competition. It's an unwanted record.
It's quite a surprising one as well.
It is a surprising one.
They were very underwhelming, though. It looked like they just didn't treat the game as seriously as perhaps they should have. Like, they just thought they would just walk over Lyon. And Lyon just stood up to them fairly
well. Lyon are a good side.
Well. They are a good side, of course. And Nabil Fekir had an excellent game.
I didn't watch it because I wanted to watch the prospective banana skin awaiting Man United in Switzerland. and United, by the way, the young boys were fantastic for the first half hour or so. There's a really interesting piece from Jonathan Wilson, also of the On the Continent Parish, today about City, saying that they've been working on different ways and different systems to play against teams who they have to break down. Mm-hmm. Teams who don't come to play, basically, which of course is relevant to this Cardiff game this weekend. Against Lyon, it obviously failed because Lyon were able to... Did Lyon score both their goals on the break?
Yeah.
Against them? Okay, fine.
And Man City sort of gave the ball away a little bit. Delph should have cleared for the first.
But one of the things Jonathan said about this City situation is that with the type of football Guardiola plays, you wonder whether the players become supplicants to the system at all costs. And he used an example of it, which I really enjoyed, which was Johan Cruyff feeling that his players were too much like replicants, too much like just doing just slaves to the system.
Yeah.
So he brought in Hristo Stoichkov as a Malalecho, the bad milk, to basically just mix it up and give him a bit of flair, give him a little bit of instinctive quality. Yeah. To keep everyone on their toes.
Didn't Guardiola try that with Ibrahimovic?
Yeah, I think he might have done. And failed. I think he should do it with Man City. I think he should try and sign...
some literal bad milk.
Get Diego Costa.
Get Balotelli back.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. That's a very interesting point, actually.
Give Arteta the job.
Yeah. Well, but some of the Barcelona players under Guardiola said that when he left, of course, and the new manager, was it Martino? No, it was
Villanova.
Yeah, and then I think when... But he was very much Guardiola's number two.
That's right.
And they all shuffled up. When Martino, I think it was Tata Martino, came in, I think it was him, Pique said, oh, now we've got a plan B. Mm. Seems an odd thing to say, considering the success they had.
Yeah. Well, they didn't need one, did they?
No, they didn't. But it's strange that he highlighted that. He said, oh, fine. It was a kind of, oh, well, luckily now we have a plan B, which does suggest, despite the success and the football they played, there could be an element of truth in what you just said there. Well, look about what Jonathan Wilson wrote.
They need a Fellaini.
I hope I haven't misquoted Jonathan. It won't be the first time. Pretty sure that's what he said. Cardiff, on the other side of the ledger, Cardiff need to start picking up points. Now, they're probably not going to do it this weekend, but after this, they've got Burnley at home, they've got Fulham at home coming up, they've got Leicester and Brighton at home coming up, and Wolves coming up at home. They play all those games in like the first half of the season. Mm. I mean, if they don't get out of those ones with some points, you really worry for them because they find it very hard to score.
Will there be a bigger grin in the land than on Neil Warnock's face if he manages to frustrate Guardiola?
It would be
Man
brilliant. If Cardiff just get anything out of this game,
it would be class.
Neil Warnock's post-match interview alone will make it worth it.
There'll be DVDs of that. It'll be brilliant.
Definitely, and I'll buy one. Even though I haven't got a DVD player.
I think Man City might return to form in this match because I have a long-standing gripe with Cardiff being rubbish and violent. So we'll see how that one pans out.
Do you think that the crosses and the balls will be raining into that Manchester City penalty area?
Will they not get a touch?
Give it to Murphy. Whip it in. Thank you.
Yeah, if they do rain balls down, City's umbrellas will be able to cope with it.
All right.
Jim, you talk
about that look on your face where you suggest there's going to be an upset.
I don't think there is going to be an upset. I think Cardiff are going to be absolutely destroyed.
Can you sniff it in the air, Marcus?
I don't know. There's something in the air. I don't know if it's that or Pete's aftershave.
Yeah.
Oh,
but it's a lovely scent.
You started with the yard, and I'll take it.
Jim, you know, earlier you said about releasing the DVD. If we cross straight now live to our technology correspondent, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Do football clubs still release DVDs, or is it like a Blu-ray?
No, I think. But somebody was telling me that, you remember when people criticised Spurs for releasing a couple of ones on DVD when they like drew a match or whatever?
4-4 with Arsenal, I think.
Yeah, apparently they used to just do that. They just used to do that anyway, like for every match, home and away.
So you could just buy it.
So it makes sense.
Okay. Well, we lost 2-1 away to West Brom. You can buy it.
Yeah, exactly.
Not one of our best sellers. Right.
I'd love to see what the sales figures for those are.
Yeah.
Like highest and lowest.
If anyone works at Spurs, feel free to WikiLeak that to us.
Well, listen, based on some leaked reports about their new stadium today, which may or may not be true,
right,
it's an absolute shit show.
What's going on there?
I'll send you a link later. I only skim read it, but it looks like
January.
There's a lot of poor communication going on amongst all the different subcontractors.
Oh, is that what's happening?
There are probably loads of Arsenal shirts buried in it.
Yeah,
but that's, definitely aren't.
That's but, always, you know,
it's always the
rumour.
I think people just need to remember that building stadiums is quite difficult.
Yeah, hard. It's hard.
There's metal and cement and wires.
Building this studio was hard enough.
And you did an excellent chapter on stadiums in the Football Ramble book, of course.
I did.
Peter.
That's
out of print.
Disability access as well. So let's hope that Spurs. I think Spurs historically always had a very good rating for that kind of thing. So long may that continue.
Long may it continue. And now it's time. Oh, Luke, you were going to say.
I was just going to say Cardiff. I just thought I'd mention it because you guys were talking about an upset.
Go on, give me the odds, brother.
Marcus, you haven't got the stones to commit to it on air, but I know you're sniffing an upset.
I think they're going to get a draw.
It's Cardiff. My aftershave.
All right, one all.
Cardiff are 14-1 to give Man City a whooping. Emerge victorious. £10 with Bet365 returns £150 including stake. That's if Cardiff win, though.
I never said a whooping.
No.
You're going for a draw. Who do you think is going to get the
one all or a Cardiff loss?
Stick your neck out. Right, let's go to Pete's bonnet.
It's time for emails with Peteman.
It is time
Might
for
I
emails.
Start, Peter?
Yeah, of course you can, baby.
Because that's the kindest can, thing you've ever said
it's
to me.
It's not Pete's emails anymore, it's Pete's bonnet.
Pete's bonnet.
Well, you can pop the bonnet on
I'm
for a bit.
I'm going to climb in there.
Yeah. And there's bees in it.
And do some much-needed mechanical work.
Don't flare around at the bees, just let them get on with it.
I have received much correspondence from this from our good listeners, and it's a quote from Peter Crouch.
Okay.
Okay, right.
And it simply says this. We got back from an England game one night. I just peeked into the bar. I heard some music. Sven was on the piano, tickling the ivories, and Tord was on the accordion. Tord was amazing. Tickling the ivories.
I love it.
Of course,
they've
Sven
got like
was.
A little lounge combo.
Tord was amazing.
That is, I mean, come on.
Imagine
come
seeing,
on.
Imagine Sven back to the entrance. So Peter Crouch walks in. Sven's just tinkling away.
Yeah.
Leans over. Peter. Come over.
Yeah.
Come over.
Yeah, no, bring them with you.
Peter's in a sexy chiffon number. Yeah. He gets up on the grand piano.
Might be how he met Abby Clancy.
Could be.
Surrounded by that.
She's Strictly Come Dancing. Yeah. She's doing that.
To be fair, one of the few instruments that you do play with a grip is an accordion.
Yeah. It's called grip. That's why.
So that's
it's called
why
grip.
Perfectly.
Yeah.
What else?
Nominative determinism.
What else was Sven tickling?
Yeah.
Peter
vaginas. Is that what you're suggesting, Marcus?
Clitoris. He always
be
dances,
bold about it,
yeah,
Marcus,
he always dances around it, doesn't
around
he?
It.
He's like a proper sports commentator.
Hang on.
Giggling away.
I asked the
when
question.
When someone says about a willy or a googly or something, I don't know what they talk about.
What are you doing about pianos?
Yeah.
Right, you can imagine Sven, Peter saying to Sven, Todd's really good on that accordion, yeah. I know. He's great. Great grip.
Oh, dear.
Right, Peter, tickle away.
Hello to Jamie from Exeter. You discussed on Monday how someone threw a pie at the Stoke game. A lot of food chat in the emails this
weekend. Unacceptable behaviour.
Unacceptable him. It gets more unacceptable.
I'm Stokey.
Well, in the same Twitter thread, you Mr. Corker. According to one fan, it's not pies we should be worried about. It's wagon wheels. I have attached a screenshot for good measure. I agree, says Anthony Dent on Twitter. Only a matter of time before a kid is blinded. At a game last season, I saw a little lad take a wagon wheel full in the face.
Yeah. That's a sore
one. They're quite. I imagine
there's
they're
no
quite
give.
Good as a projectile
because you no give
spin them
a
like a disc.
Well,
would you spin them like a disc, sort of like
yeah, I would,
vertically
I'd
or horizontally?
Horizontally.
That would worry that I would get like the sharp corner of the plastic in someone's eye.
You shouldn't be discussing this, gentlemen.
There's only one place a jammy wagon wheel's going, and that's in my belly. I throw that into my belly.
One of the caramel ones and all.
I don't like them. I don't dig those.
Surely you'd unsheathe it before you threw it.
Yeah, that was
you'd
funnier
take
that
away
way,
the risk of the plastic.
Yeah. What are you gonna do with the plastic? Put it in your pocket. Evidence, though, isn't it? It's evidence.
Well, this is it. This is disgusting. Martin, Martin's once from Newcastle, now in Leeds. Hi, chaps. Love the show. There's been a bit of chat recently about pies being thrown. I would like to confess of being part of a similarly unsavoury incident. Literally unsavoury in this case. Early January 2004, Southampton versus Newcastle in an FA Cup third round at St Mary's. Evening kickoff, so plenty of time for drinking on the train down and around town. On the walk to the ground, feeling peckish, one of our group, to remain nameless, but let's call him Barry, popped into a newsagent's and came out with an entire strawberry Viennetta.
That sounds like the sort of thing a Barry would do, actually.
So having ploughed through roughly half of the ice cream log in the freezing cold, arriving at the stadium, Barry, in inverted commas,
with his hands on his own.
I suppose you would use the packet like a
massive choc ice.
Yeah, like a big Viennetta choc ice.
Presumably they didn't have any Arctic rolls.
But strawberry flavoured, yeah. They arrived at the stadium. He took the rest of the Viennetta under his coat and entered through the turnstiles. Safely sat in our seats about 10 minutes into the game, Barry decided after a couple more bites that he'd had enough, so he just launched it in the home fans, hitting a lady squarely in the face.
I don't like Barry.
No. But, and this is a big but, if I was going to be hit by something food related at a football game, I'll take a Viennetta over a hot pie.
Yeah. Oh,
so
definitely.
It's not as bad as a pie.
No, it's not.
It's better than a wagon wheel, but a wagon wheel, I'd go wagon wheel, Viennetta pie.
The wagon wheel's the best, though, because on a cold day, you don't want a face full of ice cream.
No, but
Viennetta, it depends.
It's not gonna
as
hurt.
Soon as you get out of the packet, it starts to melt. Anyway, the only thing that would be hard would be the crisp chocolate shell.
And they can be quite sharp.
Strawberry. Yeah,
they can
you
be
could
quite
get
sharp.
A shard of strawberry
the
in
wagon
the
wheel
face.
There's no giving a wagon wheel. That is dangerous.
Notice that Luke is defending the person who threw it because it was in the face of a Southampton fan.
I'm not... You can't tell
in the
me.
Third round of the FA Cup.
You can't
I don't even know what year it was. I was guaranteeing Newcastle did not get through that fixture.
Yeah, you can't tell
so
me.
So enjoy yourself while it lasts, guys.
All I will say is this.
Don't food right. fight it.
No,
football.
I don't endorse it, but you cannot sit here in all consciousness and tell me that seeing a Southampton fan with an ice cream in their face isn't funny.
That's not funny.
Okay. All right, fine. I'm on my own.
I may have admitted, details that the one was rather elderly.
Oh, okay. Oh, in which case, I don't endorse it either.
Oh, look. Really? Newcastle won 3-0.
There you go.
Yay.
You were probably there, were you?
No, not in 2004.
Ah, Vianetta all round.
Kieran Dyer scoring.
There we go.
There we
Dyer
are.
Fires home from Hughes' cross.
Any more
24,
emails?
Aaron
Any more
Hughes.
Emails,
Robert drilling left foot shot past Naomi. And also a fine individual goal from Dyer seals victory.
Reset him.
Get off my iPad.
Any more emails,
no,
Peter?
No, no more emails.
All right.
Let's get out of here.
All right, press the button then.
What?
Back in a moment.
There's an ad break now, as on your running order.
Yep.
Yeah.
Here we are. Just press
you
it.
On that?
Yeah.
Yeah, just give it a tickle.
Yeah, go on, tickle it now. Talk. Come on, talk. Yeah,
I'm going to press
squeeze
right
it. Squeeze
it like an ivory.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Kevin Keegan, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Hey, look at that guy.
Let's not have Keggy around with Viennitas flying around. He's going to hit it down his pants and all sorts.
Oh dear.
If a man chooses to enjoy himself like that, do not kink shame.
Yeah. Oh, it's gone all over the deeds of my house and it's becoming ineligible.
Gee, whenever I hear that jingle, I end up often I'm gonna hear, "Hi, I'm Kevin Keegan and
Yo, smash.
Kev There we go.
Manchester United. They got a good win at Young Boys.
Yes,
you are beautiful.
Young boys.
Young boys.
Never lose it.
Unless
they play against Man United. Exactly. I watched the game. I was expecting, or half expecting, I suppose I'm doing nothing here to sort of deny the myth around the show that we all hate Jose Mourinho.
We don't hate him.
No, but I thought there's a chance of a banana skin here.
No chance.
So I watched it. Young boys started very well. United obviously were able to sort of get there in the end, and really towards the end it was fairly easy for them.
What about the artificial grass, Luke?
Yes, and I wondered initially if that was even possible in the Champions League, but I suppose it is.
Mourinho asked the same question, and it's a fair question.
Yeah, absolutely. You're not used to seeing that in Europe.
So, Pete, there was a right back for Young Boys called Mbabu, who apparently used to play for Newcastle.
Oh, I don't know.
And he was very good.
Oh, yes.
He's very fast.
Yeah, as with a lot of Newcastle experts, is they play until 18, then there's a tipping point where they're like, "Oh, stay with us and you'll get a game," and they never do. Mm. And then they bugger off.
He's playing in the Champions League now, so.
Good. He is, yeah. But yeah. It was a good win for Manchester United. And Paul Pogba. Had a good time.
Really
that first
dominant
goal,
game.
It was exactly
not
that.
For the first period though. I have to disagree with that. For the first 20 or so minutes, they were Young Boys were the better team, and Pogba found it hard to get a foothold in the game. Now, obviously, I understand later on he was able to
for the
to
first 20 odd minutes he may well have done.
Yeah,
but he got two goals and an assist.
He did.
Had
and
the
I
last
can't deny
laugh.
That. I can't deny
he
that.
He had the last laugh, and the way he played as he grew into the game. The first goal was beautiful. He dispatched the penalty. The keeper got a hand to it, and the way he set up the second, the third, sorry. Jim, this is, we're seeing Pogba play a bit more, you know, which is good.
Yeah, well, true of Lukaku as well, I suppose, with the second goal or his first goal rather. And you know, that's not really a criticism that's been levelled at him, but is the problem that it, you know, they are a much better side than Young Boys. You know,
oh yeah,
we're not seeing enough of this in the bigger games, maybe.
Exactly.
But Pogba, you know, he started the season very well. There's been a lot of rumours about he and Jose Mourinho's relationship, and who knows how true that is. But it doesn't seem to be a problem now, does it? Which is
no,
nice.
It Certainly happens not. Quite. It's, these things tend to sort of disappear quite quickly in football because there's so many games so often that all of a sudden you're the thing is though, Jim, it's right as you are, if they lose at home to Wolves at the weekend and Pogba is subbed off, it'll start again.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. Did we enjoy the fact that Young Boys watered the pitch?
It's weird. Yeah,
let's just keep it. 3G pitches you play on, they'll be watered.
Yeah, still be watered, don't they?
They've always got a bit of wet on them. It's just get this. It's to get the ball going. It's not.
No, I understand, but it is quite funny to water an artificial surface.
I suppose so. Yeah. In one level, it feels a bit futile, but it's to get the balls
zipping
around.
I would enjoy it if little plastic flowers came out of it. If you watered it.
That'd be very nice, Pete, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't that be nice?
Must be nice living in your world.
Why don't they plant on the goal line and, well, basically all the white lines on a pitch? Why don't they put little daisies in there? Get off. I'm trying to make the game more magical.
You are indeed.
And you just want to put Tony Blair at the head of it.
Problem is, though,
yeah,
why don't we invade hockey and find some wetters of mass destruction?
The Blair Pitch Project.
Yeah. The Blair Pitch Project.
Problem is, Pete, if you have plastic flowers all over the pitch, you can have plastic bees buzzing around.
That's true.
They'll just get in your
right
bonnet.
Right in your bonnet.
I'll be around collecting them in my bonnet.
But in all seriousness, for one second, Wolves will see Man United at home playing at Old Trafford, and they'll see what happened in the Leicester game, which I know United were able to win, but Leicester mm-hmm. were pretty decent. They'll see them getting pumped by Spurs. And they'll say, this is what we did against Man City. Mm. We're playing some nice football at the moment. And they'll fancy it. I think they will fancy it.
I watched them against Burnley and they were far better than the 1-0 scoreline.
Definitely. Hart was brilliant. Yeah, they were much better. They were by far the better team, Jim. Yeah. I completely agree.
I think they'll go at them. And I think it'll be a really good game for that reason.
It's interesting with Wolves that they are a newly promoted side, of course. They're not playing like one.
They don't feel like one,
well,
do
because
they?
A lot of their players... I mean, Moutinho, for crying out loud.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is a Champions League player, really. Yeah. Rui Patricio. These players are used to playing in the top tier for big sides.
And they're unbeaten.
Not all of them, but...
They haven't lost for a month now.
Yeah. As you say, Luke, Wolves going to Manchester United, they will think to themselves, we can get something
out of this. It's interesting as well, because they're not generally that sort of profile of team, are they? If Villa came up next season and started really well, it wouldn't seem that unusual, because they're used to being in the Premier League. But Wolves have never really been a team of that stature. They've been up and down and spent a long time, most of their time in the Championship.
The Portuguese revolution, would you call it?
Connection.
Well, if you think this game will be a cagey affair, under 2.5 goals is evens with Bet365, so £10 will return £20, including stake. I wish this game was on TV, I have to be honest, but I think it's 3 o'clock on Saturday, sadly.
It is, yeah. Burnley host Bournemouth, bottom of the league. Burnley play fifth-placed Bournemouth.
Burnley now, at this point for this weekend, need to take a shit or get off the pot.
Absolutely.
Because they are in big trouble.
They really are. And this is a bit of a nightmare fixture in a sense, isn't it? Given how well Bournemouth are playing, and the tails are very much up. But at the same time, is that a chance for Dyche to go, look, these guys are going to come here expecting a win, they're full of confidence, let's blunt that, and then let's state our own case.
But I think even if they were playing like, you know, I'm trying to think if they were playing like Cardiff or something, I think it'd still be a massive banana skin. Because when you're playing like that, when you're playing within yourselves and you just can't pick up points, like no match is a good match to play.
Earthworm Sean was doing that thing that Marcus was talking about at the start of the season. He did that again after their last game. Where he said, oh yeah, well, everyone just talks about the fact that we've got Europa League. And so it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, which, as you said at the time, I completely agree. It's just a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
You need to motivate your team and focus your team's resources on winning games. I don't think you can realistically say, look, let's get it right. If Burnley get relegated this season, Sean Dyche won't lose his job.
No.
And I don't think there's much danger of that at all.
No. It would have to be a spectacular relegation.
Exactly. And he would still be, I think, as well, I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say, he'll still be applauded for his achievements.
Oh, yeah. Club.
But it's not really acceptable for him to start hiding behind this idea that, the only reason they're struggling in the league, or one of the main reasons they're struggling in the league, is because everyone else has decided that they're struggling.
I know what you mean.
It's just a weird thing to say.
It is a funny one. At the start of the Burnley chat, you said they need to take a jobby or get off the pot.
I did. I said shit.
You did say shit, yes. So I understand if they do indeed defecate, right? So that's obviously to sort of win the game.
Yeah.
What's the other option? They just sort of go, do you know what?
We're
going to drop out of the league.
Yeah. Let someone else have a go.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Right. In hindsight, it doesn't really work.
Yeah. Well, they have Stephen Defoe to come back soon, don't they? Which will be a much needed injection of quality.
So yeah.
Well, hopefully they can get themselves going a bit.
Burnley's transfers out have all been like either releases or free transfers. They've not made any money from people leaving. So they've not sold any,
wage bill.
They've not sold any big players. So the nucleus of the team should still be there. So get it together, Burnley.
Get it.
I think they lost this game at home last season as well. Burnley. I think they lost two, but
that doesn't count, mate. It's a new season. Yeah. They've still got to play it again.
Doesn't ever count. No, you can't just have that. No, we'll take that one.
No,
I'm afraid not. Bournemouth have been playing some good stuff this season. Eddie Howe's men have started quite superbly, really. They finished 12th last season, missed out on 10th, only on goal difference. Of course, 10th place, Peter, was
What, a nice place to be?
Newcastle United.
Oh, right, sorry, it was a fair deuce.
Yeah, and last season they started terribly. They lost a number of games early on, but they got 10 points from 5 matches. Yep. Only Man City, Chelsea and Liverpool have scored more than them this season thus far. Mm. They do concede a few goals.
That actually in itself, though, shows that, you know, Sean Dyche is perhaps right to just sort of seal this as folly, because Bournemouth, you know, they were fine. They could easily have finished 10th. And they had a terrible start to the season. Burnley have had similar. There's a long way to go.
Well, the thing is, Jim, I might have said this already this season, but if I have, forgive me. But the reality is there's no mid-table in the Premier League anymore. Mm. You've got the top six, and then you've probably got Everton. After that, any three can be relegated.
Yeah.
There's no team, possibly Leicester, them aside.
Well, Wolves will fancy that mid-table.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is there's no team you can sit there outside of the top six, and if you had Everton in there, that leaves you 13 teams left. No one around this table can look at any one of those and go, they'll definitely be safe.
So that's why the start Bournemouth have had, how are we thinking? Bloody brilliant. Hell, guys.
Yeah, we can finish seventh or eighth. Yeah.
Imagine if Bournemouth finished seventh or eighth in the league.
Yeah.
It'd be phenomenal.
It'd be fantastic.
Yeah. Absolutely phenomenal. And then, you know, I mean, they've got the things with Bournemouth, they've got an exciting side. And they've got some players who've been there for a little while and they've added one or two. But there's a bit of excitement, there's a bit of enthusiasm, there's a bit of energy. They're scoring goals. You compare that to Burnley, who, of course, that's who they're playing against. Mm. Eddie Howe's old team, lest we forget. It's a markedly different situation. Started poorly, not scoring goals. The shoulders are sunk and so on. Dyche has got to really try and turn this around. I mean, I suppose the plus points for Burnley is Hart did have a good game against Wolves and has done okay. And Tarkowski's still putting in some decent performances at the back.
He's their top scorer.
Well, you know, that sells its own story, but they need something.
They haven't got goals in their team. We said that over and over again last season. They scored fewer than the goal a game last year. Mm. Who's given them goals this year?
Well, now they're shipping goals. Now they're losing goals.
Exactly. It puts you under a lot of pressure.
Indeed.
You know, Burnley are 15-8 to get off the mark and record their first win of the season. £10 with Bet365 returns. £28.75, including stake.
Dyche is not stupid. He will see this game and think, right.
Yeah.
Come along,
back
chaps.
On track.
It's time to win.
He's probably thought that about every game.
Yes.
Speaking of
winning, let's have the best bet with Bet365, Luke.
Who's sat in that hot seat over there, guys? Mm. I'm pointing to it now.
No one.
You don't recognise him. It's because you don't recognise him. It's Andy Duncan.
Andy Duncan.
And he's emailed back in and he said, chuffed to be back in the hot seat for a second week after United, Man United, of course. Don't say that when Pete's around.
Yeah, get out.
Did the business on Saturday. This week I've plumped for Leicester to get back on track following their aberration at Bournemouth. Wes Morgan's suspension might actually be a blessing in disguise, as it should allow Claude Puel to bring Johnny Evans into the team. Mm-hmm. And he and Maguire look to have the complementary skills to make a top centre-back partnership. I think that's fair comment, actually.
I think so, yeah.
Alongside this, Jamie Vardy will be desperate to get scoring again after his ban. And I don't think he quite got the praise he deserved for scoring 20 goals in the league last season, but even though Leicester's season was a bit mixed. So my best bet is Jamie Vardy to score any time and Leicester to beat Huddersfield.
It's a good bet.
Currently 8-5 via Bet365. Excellent bet builder function, so do check that out. And £50 this outcome with Bet365 will return £130, including stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information on that, go to begambleaware.org. That's Jamie Vardy to score any time in the game and Leicester to beat Huddersfield.
I think we could see Andy slam Duncan back into the chair.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. How good would it be to get before the end of September to get an ORE in the mix, get him up on the wall in the studio?
That would be class.
It'd be fantastic.
Wouldn't it just? Now then, let's see what Luke's been asking the listeners this week.
Well, I got involved in this week because I saw, I don't know if you guys have read this, that Space Jam 2 is being made.
What?
This is the first I've heard of that.
It's a sequel to Space Jam 2.
Space Jam 3.
Yeah.
No.
Sequel to Space Jam.
Sorry, there's a sequel to Space Jam called, that's how it works, isn't it?
Yeah.
2 comes after 1, doesn't it? And LeBron James is playing the Michael Jordan.
Perfect.
So they got me thinking, if there was a football version, who would you have as the Michael Jordan character?
No.
Pat Buckler says Sergio Busquets.
Nice. See where this is going already.
Yeah. Alan Basketball.
Alan Basketball's a good shout.
Yeah. Jordan Pickford.
Edwin doesn't make any sense.
Just Jordan. Jordan.
Oh, yeah, okay. Jordan
like Pickford. For like.
Say Air Jordan Pickford.
Yeah, do it again.
Air Jordan Pickford.
Good one.
Yeah.
Do it.
Edward Mancy on Facebook says Peter Crouch is tall. Andy Carroll is also tall. One of them. It's good.
Slam Duncan Ferguson.
I'll finish with Andy Cumello, who says Lewis Dunk.
Lewis Dunk.
There we go. That was worth it, guys. That was worth doing that section.
There we go.
This week.
Lovely.
Not always, I admit.
And now it's time.
No. Not yet.
Oh, he's just thinking of one. He's
just thinking of one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is it time for going for gold yet?
Yeah.
We're going to think of more.
Net. I'm thinking of net as well. Net. I just can't get anything.
Net Pittman.
Who?
Net Pittman.
Brett Pittman. Net Pittman. There we go.
All right. And now it's time for going.
Net three pointman.
That's dreadful.
Yeah, sorry about that. There we go.
And now it's time for going for gold.
Yeah.
Press the button.
I'm trying
tickle your ivories.
Why do we have to say it every show? Press the button. So, the heat is on. Fuck. And the time
is right. It's time for you. Still not shortened it. People are coming. Everyone's trying. We'll be there in a minute.
Sorry, did you want to shorten
it? No!
Then we go again.
Yeah. So, respect it. And the
time is Wanker. Right. It's time for you. Well, you would have played a game. Cause people are coming. Everyone's trying to be here the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. I'd really like a shortened version. Lord. Don't play it again.
If you interrupt the Going for Gold theme tune again, Marcus Speller.
If you don't tickle those ivories.
Repete. We're going to go for the rewind as a pirate radio station might
rewind.
Demand.
Yeah, shout out.
Oh, yeah, Rob. Yeah. Rob with the clues this week.
Are we having bed or no bed?
No bed.
Okay. No bed.
We need the vote. We need a vote, don't we?
Yeah, I vote for bed.
I vote no bed.
Mm.
Jim?
Weren't we going to put the vote to the listeners?
The listeners, yeah, not us.
All right, okay, we'll do that later.
Yeah.
But now we have no bed. I keep forgetting.
No bed.
Okay, cool.
Rob came up with the clues for this one.
Jim, you got off the mark last week, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah. Mm. There we go. Pressure's off him.
So Jim's got one.
I've got three. Marcus has got three.
Everybody in the three.
So somebody could put. So Luke or Marcus could pull ahead. Jim could achieve almost parity.
Yeah, he could.
I was born on the 18th of January, 1961.
Oh, what makes him okay?
Stop. Glenn Hoddle.
Incorrect.
I don't mind that shout. That sounds about right. Yeah.
In my 20-year playing career, I played for clubs such as Manchester United, Manchester City, and Everton.
Stop.
Dennis Law?
Incorrect.
Dennis Law is not 57.
No. I'm not good at math. Thank you for the tip.
No.
I was initially turned down by my boyhood club before going on to spend three spells there.
And the club was?
I can get players around that age, but I can't think of anyone who played for United and City. That's tough. Carry on.
I played 59 times for my country, scoring 9 times.
Stop.
No.
I was going to say Andy Cole. It's not Andy bloody Stop. Cole. Ridiculous.
Brian Robson.
Incorrect.
Andy Cole, Gordon Bennett. Sorry, everybody.
I'm nodding in Marcus's direction. That direction, I'm saying.
What? You can't be giving clues, that.
Don't bonus clues.
You've all got access to the clue I just did.
Yeah, but why are you nodding in people's direction?
I'm just nodding in people's direction.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't mean anything.
Carry on.
Just nodding.
Jim's fuming. Carry on.
In 1987, I set a record transfer fee in the English game.
Oh.
Stop. It's not Mark Hughes, is it?
Incorrect.
1987.
In 1987, when playing as West Ham, I ended the game as a stand-in goalkeeper. I conceded 3 goals and we lost the game 8-1.
Stop. Graham Sharp?
Incorrect.
I thought old Sharpie.
This is a tough one for
some
reason.
It really is.
Yeah, Pete, you might get your first point on the board here, pal.
I doubt it. I scored 4 goals for England against Aylesbury United in a warm-up match for the 1988 European Championships.
This is a bit before my time, really.
Yeah.
Stop. Terry Fenwick?
Incorrect.
He's a centre-back.
Oh, yeah, so he is.
Yeah.
I had a video game named after me in 1988.
Stop! Is it Peter Reid?
Incorrect.
Oh, God.
Peter Reid's football.
Stop!
Come on now.
No.
You got a guess.
Oh, Emlyn Hughes, it's not right.
Incorrect.
He did have a game.
Jim, did you have one in the locker there?
I was going to say, stop, Peter Beardsley, but it's...
It's Peter Beardsley, Jim Cummins!
Jim.
Oh, he's like played for Man United and Man City.
Didn't he start off at Man United very early in his career? I think he did one match. That's what froze you, because he was Peter Beardsley.
I admitted, his clue actually said, in my 20-year playing career, I played for Man United, Manchester City, Everton and Liverpool, the only person to do so, but I thought the Liverpool might give it away.
Probably would have done. I'd have got it instantly.
So you edited the clues yourself there?
I did, on the fly.
Well done, mate.
Well done, mate.
Yeah. It's a big step forward for you.
That's why I was nodding in Marcus's direction when he said Andy Cole, because he obviously was a great striking partner with Andy Cole.
But you shouldn't be doing that.
Noddy, no, nod, nod.
I know, but he's whenever
Noddy,
Pete gives a clue,
nod, listen, nod, Pete, nod, 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 nod.
Pete Noddleson, stop it.
I'm going to nod off in a minute. You don't escape the shot.
That, all right. You're like that millionaire cheat.
Yeah, you are.
The coffin man.
Major thingy. I can't remember.
Major thingy.
I remember what major his cheat. What his million-pound question was. Do you remember what it was?
No, go on.
It was a one followed by 25 zeros is called a what? And the correct answer was a Google.
A Google.
And he got it. And I maintain to this day, if he had just taken half a million, nothing would ever have been said.
Yeah.
He was like Icarus. He flew too close to the sun.
He did indeed. Mm. Although, unlike Icarus, he got lots of money.
Yeah, for a bit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Hopefully spent it before they got it. But there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the preview show, sponsored by Bet365. Let me just get that in before you start babbling away, Donaldson.
Marcus, just take us out of it. I'll press the button if I have to.
I mean, presumably Icarus was Earth-based when he flew too close to the sun.
He had waxy wings.
I'm saying that the sun is also implicit in the blame because...
I don't think anyone's saying the sun is blameless.
Because the sun's location very much dictates...
Goodbye. Say goodbye, Jim Campbell.
No, I want to hear more.
At certain parts of the day, it would not be quite as a violent reaction. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
What are you saying?
If the sun was on the other side of the Earth, Icarus would not have burnt his wings.
It would have been night time.
At night.
So it's the Earth and the sun's fault.
Jim, say goodbye.
Goodbye. Yeah.
Peter.
The heat is on.
And it's goodbye from me, everybody. See you next week.
Icarus.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.